Hey, we're back here on a Wednesday afternoon downtown program. It's time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt with us, sort of, a previously recorded edition of Sports Lit while Bruce tours most of Europe and tries to make peace in our time. We appreciate your efforts. Somebody's got to do it.
Yes, and I intend to wear my Obama Llama Ding Dong t-shirt every day so people know it's not my fault.
Somebody making America look good over there, for God's sakes. This time around, we want to talk about a book by a guy we've had on the show before, a wonderful writer who's chronicled much of baseball and broadcasting history as well. And this time around, he writes about baseball and the presidents.
Yeah, this book came out in 2018, and it's a fairly good-sized book. I mean, it's not a tome. And so I didn't get to it right away, and I'm sorry I wasn't ready at the beginning of the baseball season, because this is really a good book. I mean, I'm not surprised, because we know that Smith is a good historian and a good baseball man, but it's an interesting look at the interconnection between baseball and politics in a way that we looked at it with Roberta Newman in Baseball and Advertising. Some presidents latched on to baseball. They loved baseball. They wanted to be seen at baseball games. They did everything they could. The only reason that they probably kept the team in Washington as long as they did was because presidents wanted to be there to throw out the first ball. And presidents who did not show a great affinity for baseball often had troubles with their constituents who wanted them to be more like baseball. But what's astonishing about this is Smith goes back to the first presidents that really, you think about Taft and Coolidge and people like that, And he starts examining how baseball and the presidency grow. How, you know, sometimes when they were in Washington, they just went to baseball games. Now it's a big deal if the president goes to a game. He's going to throw out the first pitch. There's going to be a flyover or something. They're going to turn it into something it wasn't before, but in part because baseball was only in the newspapers then.
Right, right.
So all people could read was the account that, you know, President Garfield was President Taft was seen wedging into his seat, you know, all 350 pounds of him at a game, or that Woodrow Wilson's car was parked in the outfield so he could see the little hill so he could see the game. And it sort of did two things. One, it made it America's game. I mean, there was no other professional sport at that time. You know, and think how it even goes into our politics now. If someone comes in fourth in the New Hampshire primary, they struck out. If someone wins in Iowa by upset, they hit a home run. Yeah, there's the slam dunk. There's the touchdown. All those things from other sports. When you think about things people say, though, and relate them, politics and the presidency have a lot. Baseball and the presidency do have a lot in common. One, you have a lot of people vying. It's a very regional game. And one of the things that Roberta Newman pointed out is baseball is the most local of all games. You know, it's changing as hockey spreads everywhere across the U.S. and basketball continues to grow. But for a long time, there were no teams in the South that played football.
Right.
But there were always teams in the South that played baseball because minor league baseball was really important. As you know, now we have AAA, AA, A ball, and occasionally the rookie or independent leagues. Well, they had ABCD ball in the old days. There were town teams. Baseball was important, so that Herbert Hoover actually owned a baseball team at one point in time. Thought he would become a baseball player until it turned out he was a better salesman than he was a shortstop, as they said. And he wanted to be identified with baseball all the time. What Smith does, it's really interesting. Each time you change the presidency, he gives you a synopsis of what's going on in the world at that moment and what's going on in the United States at that moment. And he does it brilliantly. If you're not a baseball fan, you'd love this book just because of how well written it is, which, again, it's Kurt Smith, is not a surprise. One of the things that I really liked about it was his purpose in doing this was not to change history, but just to record it from a different angle. I mean, that's the way I would say it. He talked to a lot of baseball players, and there are pictures throughout here of virtually every single president who ever threw out a baseball. And some of them are great. You know, you see the courage of FDR standing up when he's balancing with his left hand. He's holding a curveball. He's got the ball held to snap off a breaker. And he's got his hat on, and everybody's cheering, and his hand is back in the right position, slightly twisted the way it's supposed to be. I'm thinking, you know, Only photographs. You do that. If you see it live on TV, you don't see that.
Right.
And they booed presidents who bounced it to the mound. They cheered presidents who threw strikes.
Now, in recent years, I always felt like maybe, I don't know, the last 30, 40 years, it's all been about making the president seem more like a regular guy.
Yes.
Was it that way initially?
I don't think so. I think it was instead the president saying, by going out and throwing out the first ball and being at a ball game, he was saying, I will be among you. I may be in the White House most of the time. I may be here and there, but I will be out and among you. And a couple of the presidents talked about that. I believe both Hoover, I mean, Coolidge, whose wife loved baseball. She kept score. She was a baseball fanatic. He didn't care for it one way or the other. But he knew that if Cal was going to have, you know, the common touch, that it was important to be out and be seen doing things that didn't have to do with politics. The other great thing is in both World Wars, baseball did not stop. You know, World Series didn't happen at different times, but baseball didn't stop. And the owners were all set to do it, as we know from back when we wrote a great book about Jacob Rupert and the Colonel and Hug, that there was a lot of pressure to drop baseball. But FDR said, no, don't do that. And during World War I, the presidents who crossed over World War I, no, don't do that. Not because we want to give people a diversion from the war. It wasn't a wag the dog kind of thing. But it was that the more normal we can be, the more we can continue to be who we are, when we come out of this, the better we'll be. And the discussions, and Smith did a lot of research on that as to, you know, why that was what presidents believed. And in the 30s, during the Depression, baseball didn't suffer the way so many other things did, because it was always inexpensive. It was always something you could do in the daytime and enjoy. If you're out of work and you've been looking for work and you can scrape up, you know, a dime to go to the polo grounds, what better way to feel good for a couple of hours? You
know? Now, is Trump, to my recollection, Trump is the first president, I guess, since Teddy Roosevelt, before Taft, the first president who hasn't thrown out the first pitch at a game, or were there some who didn't?
No, every other president has thrown out the first pitch. I believe there was one year, and I don't remember what it was, but where the second president, Bush, couldn't do it opening day, but did it opening day somewhere else. For some obviously very legitimate reason. And that's the great thing about this. Politics don't come into it. It doesn't become Democratic president scores points, Republican president, bull moose president, whatever scores points, but that it was baseball was a connection made between the people, and it's the game that everybody knew.
Well, and one of the second 43 George Bush's greatest moments as president was after the attacks of 9/11, when he threw out the first pitch in the first game that was played after the attack.
Yeah, and that, you know, and there are moments in here where Smith talks about how baseball has united people. Think about the way when the Yankees got to Fenway Park after that, and the Red Sox fans stood on their feet and cheered. You know, they're not going to do that for much.
That's right.
And we're not going to. And the same way, obviously, after the disaster at the marathon, when the reciprocation in New York, people can get cynical and say, well, it's all just, you know, publicity, but it's not. And it wasn't in these moments with these presidents either. It's fascinating the way Taft and Coolidge and Hoover and these guys were really before the sort of the aspirin age, before the 20s get rolling, have to be part of this. I mean, they go on 6-week vacations to go elk hunting, but then they go to the minor league baseball games all around the country just to see people. And you know, it was the game everybody knew. And it's the game. And it's sad for me that baseball is not as unifying a thing now as it used to be.
Yeah, and I don't know what the reasons are. I think there are a lot of reasons for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's no one simple answer. But, yeah, clearly it's been replaced by football as the real national pastime today. But looking forward to reading the book, The Presidents and the Pastime, The History of Baseball in the White House by Kurt Smith. Bruce, next week, live from France.
Goes well. Yeah. And it looks like Randy Maggs, whose night work, The Sawchuck Poems, has just been re-released in Canada with a new introduction by Angie Abdu. So we have two friends of the show will be with us. I'm hoping Dick Crapeau can join us. I'm not sure who's all going to be there when, because it's going to be 10 o'clock in France, 10 o'clock in the evening. So I will try and get the most sober and most articulate people at the conference at that point, because it is only the first night of the full conference. But yeah, we'll be calling in from Limoges, France.
Outstanding. Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure, sir.